today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the TSA says you may be able to put those pesky liquids back into your carry-on bags. And an airline, get this, Thomas, is charging more for baggage during the upcoming holiday travel season.
Am I surprised?
Mr. Travel Scrooge, updates coming in 3 minutes.
Ed Perkins has been looking out for travelers for many years. He's one of the country's best-known consumer advocates. He joins us at 3:15 to opine on a variety of timely topics.
At 3:35, we take you just down the road to Sonoma and Glen Ellyn, home of Jack London State Park. All kinds of fun things going on there, and we have a report.
Finally, in our entertainment segment at 3:50, we meet the new executive director of the Sacramento Ballet.
It's a busy hour full of great information to make you a smarter traveler. Don't touch that dial or that iHeart app. You're tuned to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. And it's a pleasure to be here today on KFBK. And so nice that you could take time out of your day to join us. If you're out there driving around, be careful. Little rain showers here and there. Mark, you were in Vegas for a while. How was the weather?
I was there over the weekend. They had a thunder shower before I got there, and I think they're going to have one after I left today, which is, thunder showers are always kind of interesting in Las Vegas. But it was 75 there yesterday.
Pretty nice.
It was very civilized. I stayed for the first time at Palace Station, which is kind of a secondary, you know, they've always had the reputation of being off the strip a little bit, never stayed there before, always heard that it was a nice place and stuff. They turned out to be really nice people, and what a nice place. The resort fee is called a service fee. They reveal it up front, and the service fee actually includes the shuttle to the strip and the shuttle to and from the airport. So what a novel idea. They charge a service fee that actually has something in it that you might have consider of. It's $28 one way to Palace Station from the airport. So that's a pretty good deal.
Now, was that where you went to the mob convention?
MobCon it was called.
MobCon.
Yeah, a couple hundred people, and they brought in, this is the second time they've done it. The gentleman who does it is the man who has put together our Ghost Hunt tour down in Las Vegas, and we're going to have him back on when we get closer to Halloween to talk about ghosts and stuff like that. We'll have a ghost show. But he's together with a guy named Frank Coletta. Coletta, I think it is, who's a former mobster type guy. And they have a variety of people who have, you know, they're hit guys, and these guys are retired. And for years, I guess Las Vegas always kind of denied that any of this actually, you know, that there were mob guys in Vegas in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And now history has made it, and a lot of these guys are not with us anymore. So it's okay to tell the stories now because they can't be nailed for anything that, you know, they did 50 years ago when they're in the ground. But it's fascinating. Probably the most interesting guy to listen to yesterday, and it was still going on today, I had to come home, was the guy who did the social beat for the Las Vegas newspaper.
Like the Herb Kane?
Yeah, the Herb Kane. Or in Sacramento, we had an old guy named Kurt McBride years ago.
Sure, Kurt McBride.
Except imagine writing a column every day, a social column about the big people, the big shots around town were gangsters and their wives.
Yeah, and you had to watch pretty close what you wrote about.
Well, yeah.
If he's still around, he must have been doing the right thing.
He must have been. So it was a lot of fun. Maybe next year, you and I should go down there and do a live broadcast or something.
With a name like Romano, you know, and my, you know, my dad's name was Angelo.
Didn't you tell me that you had a cousin named Vinny or something?
Oh, no. I had an Uncle Frank, Uncle Bruno, and Uncle Big Al. And that is God's truth. Those were their names. And my grandfather was actually named Zeno.
Zeno?
Yeah, yeah. And my dad talked like this. It wasn't because he was like a gangster. It's just that when he was a young man, the doctor accidentally cut one of his vocal cords.
I see.
And so he only had one. So everybody, Andy, they called him Andy at school. And they'd say, and my friends would run him and says, your dad, he sees the one with the funny voice. But see, I grew up with that voice. But when he'd yell at me, he'd go, Thomas, come here. I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah. Well, the guys, it was just... They told us about a scam that they did against the casinos in the back in the 70s that cost, I was explaining to you before we went on the air, about at the crap table that cost the casinos millions of... The gangsters were getting interest-free loans from the casinos in Las Vegas through the crap table. And I won't try to explain it on air right now, but nonetheless, it was pretty fascinating to listen to.
Put that on TravelGuysRadio.com. It's Mark's Vegas Insider Tip of the Week.
You know what I forgot to bring inside with me today? Down in the car is the underwear.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
But I think we've got it post. I'm hoping.
That's great to know.
Hoping the pictures might have made it. Oh, they did. The pictures made it online to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can go, and we will have the underwear update later in the program.
Okay.
But we best get rolling now.
All
we
right,
got a lot to do.
Fire up the music. There's the band, and here's Mark Hoffman with today's travel news here on the Travel Guys.
All right. The folks at Sacramento International Airport are proud to report that the flyer numbers are up again for the fifth straight month. That's kind of significant. Traffic is up a couple percent in 2014 over 13. The director of the airport's, John Wheat, said that this is an important milestone for us as we are cautiously optimistic we're in a pattern of steady improvements that will continue until the end of the year. Passenger counts at the airport have been in decline for six straight years because of the recession. The reduced revenue from reduced numbers of flights has forced airport officials to cut their budget by 15% this year. So good times maybe ahead out at Sacramento International Airport. Amtrak is bringing back, this is kind of cool, if you were going to New York State to see the fall colors this year, Amtrak is going to use their last domed car. There's only one of the original domed cars that were built in 1955, mm-hmm. and they're going to use it on the Adirondack, which is a train that runs from Albany to Montreal and through upstate New York. Great fall foliage, great color area. So if you're going back east, you're going to be back in New York State the later this week or next week, and it goes all the way up through November the 4th, 3 days a week, they're going to run this wonderful domed train. So if you know anybody who's going on a fall color trip, has a little flexibility in their itinerary, that's something that they might want to include. Tom, have you ever eaten an airline meal? I mean, back in the days when they used to serve meals on airlines,
yeah,
or even now they still serve them in first class.
Certainly have. Yeah,
have you ever eaten one you'd want to eat at home?
I can't say that I have.
Lufthansa has teamed up with an online supermarket to offer business class meals for home delivery one day a week.
Okay.
So imagine that someone would pay somebody to deliver airline food. To them.
Yeah. Next will be hospital food. Yeah.
The guy from the supermarket, spokesman for the supermarket, said, quote, a lot of frequent flyers have already signed up for the service, although he didn't say how many. A lot. Where poor people in Germany just don't have any good restaurants, I guess. Can a company stop you from writing a negative online review?
Well, they can't necessarily stop you, but they can screen it. There are companies, in fact, that have created businesses, a business model, if you will, to help protect your business from negative advertising
and
negative comments.
In the travel and the tourism industry, these reviews have become an integral part of people's buying decisions.
And sometimes I think there has been cases where people have been sued.
Yes, there have been.
For negative comments unfounded.
And now businesses are starting to insert something called a non-disparagement clause.
Okay.
So, in other words, you're going to sign something when you check into the hotel pay any attention to that says you can't post a negative review about this hotel online. The state of California has been the leader in this. 2 weeks ago, California enacted a law believed to be the first of its kind in the nation that outlaws such charges. Companies can be fined $2,500 for the first offense and $5,000 for each additional offense. Two California lawmakers introduced a bill in Congress last week called the Consumer Review Freedom Act, which would basically make it illegal for companies to make it illegal for you to post bad things about them online. However, it still doesn't mean that if you post something bad about someone online that's not true,
mm-hmm.
and they can prove it, that they can come back and sue you for that.
Right, yeah, defamation of character.
And people don't,
business.
Sometimes I think people don't think about that when they're getting all angry and they're typing those things and they're putting them online. And the best thing I can suggest to you is if you're angry with somebody and you're typing an angry review, write it all out, let it be, go back tomorrow and read it, and see if there's anything that you want to change about it before you make it a little more factual, a little more accurate, or something like that before you put it up online. All right, I mentioned in the headlines that one airline is raising bag fees for the holidays. Christmas, you know, is supposed to be a time for...
And who might this be?
Time for sharing, time for caring, time for giving and fellowship. And
charging extra for charging extra baggages.
Extra. This is what Spirit Airlines says.
Oh, in the spirit of
yes.
giving season.
Winter is coming, and perfect. That means holidays, which means more people than ever will be flying Spirit to visit their loved ones. To make sure we have room for everyone's bags, we're encouraging customers to pack a little lighter. So for travel booked after August 15th, between December 18th and January 5th, standard bag fees will be $2 more than listed below.
There you go. That's a way to encourage people to pack lightly
and
or
then,
punish them for overpacking.
And then I ran off, Tom, some of these comments that people followed this story.
No, boy.
I flew on Spirit once, and that was all it took. I will never board another one of their airplanes. This one, that one's too, I can't read that on the air. sounds like we're giving the CEO at Spirit a Christmas bonus. Somebody said, here's another one said, I flew on Spirit once, never again.
Flown Spirit?
No, I haven't.
Where does Spirit fly?
I'd rather ride in the back of a garbage truck. Spirit flies mostly to leisure destinations from major cities. So they have a lot of service. They serve Las Vegas a lot. They're kind of like Allegiant, except they serve bigger cities, whereas Allegiant serves Stockton
mm-hmm.
on a twice a week or three times a week schedule. Spirit has more of a 7-day a week schedule, but they're the guys that charge you for the carry-on bags and all those exciting things. All right, and finally, Southwest's Los Angeles terminal. If you've ever been there, you know it's not a pleasant place to be. It's terribly overcrowded. It's been that way for a long time. Security lines are horrible in the mornings and in the afternoons. They're going to spend $500 million to redo that part of the terminal down there at Los Angeles. It's going to take them 3 years, 3.5 years to do it. The airport has promised minimal disruption during the renovation, but if you've ever been in that terminal, you know if they tear up anything, it's not going to be minimal disruption.
You got that right. Just a little side note, if you happen to be down that area and you're listening to the radio, you will hear yours truly doing 15-second ads associated with Total Traffic Network, which is part of iHeartMedia,
uh-huh.
And I am expounding the and giving advice on the best way to make it in and out and to avoid problems during the reconstruction.
Oh, during reconstruction.
So
my suggestion to you Tim Winship, who was a guest in our program who wrote this article for Smarter Travel, said, until the new terminal is open for business, it's worth remembering that Southwest also flies from Burbank, Ontario, and Orange County airports, and that JetBlue serves Long Beach Airport. My wisdom to you is stay out of that terminal until they're done.
Well, we are the Travel Guys, and that's the travel news. I want to take a moment. I just got a text. San Antonio, Texas is listening today. My wife has been there for almost 2 weeks, and
so boy, she's down
I'm
there.
I'm going to have to actually do some laundry myself here pretty soon. I want to say hi to Stephanie. I want to say hi to Stephanie, Amanda, and Jacob. And thanks for tuning in to the Travel Guys all the way from Texas today. You guys have a great evening. Well, let's see. What do we got coming up after the break?
Ed Perkins joins us after the break. Ed wrote a column this week called "Cheers and Jeers" that touched on a lot of the top travel stories of the last couple of weeks, and I thought we would go over them with Ed together. So Ed Perkins, our favorite consumer advocate, joins us after this 3-minute break. We're the Travel Guys on KFBK. Wow, 20 minutes later.
No, that wasn't too bad. Hi, we are the Travel Guys. Let's move along. We got one of our favorite guys. We, in fact, kind of steal part of his name from time to time when we tell folks that we're here to make them smarter travelers from Smarter Travel. Yeah, it's Mr. Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome to the Travel Guys. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's always fun to be with you guys, and I hope we can do some good.
Well, hey, Ed, how's the weather up in Ashland? Have you guys gotten any of the rain that we've been getting down here the last few days?
Probably not as much as you have. We had one day of pretty steady rain, but it's cleared up again, although it's a lot cooler.
You guys have pretty much the same issue there in southern Oregon that we have down here, right? You're very short of rainfall.
Oh, boy. The reservoirs and lakes are down, some of them down to 10% of capacity.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
We're all going to be showering together if it doesn't turn around, but maybe this little spritz here at the beginning of the season will be good news. Ed, you wrote a wonderful column last week in which you touched on, you called it Cheers and Jeers, and we've posted it on travelguysradio.com in case anybody who's wants to follow along or just take a look at it later. But you talked about a number of different things in here, and I just wanted to share some of those, some of your opinions with our readers. And there's one of these that I don't agree with you on, so we can talk about that.
Okay.
You talked about the DOT, Department of Transportation, is going to audit airline frequent flyer programs. What's that all about?
Basically, the department is responding to the urgings of a representative from Florida, and they concentrate originally on whether the airlines are providing adequate disclosure of the costs associated with supposedly free award travel.
So this references those fuel surcharges that some airlines are tacking on to otherwise free tickets.
That's right, and they're not always calling them fuel surcharges anymore. They hide it and just call it airline-imposed surcharge. But it can be very substantial. On a frequent flyer trip, for example, if you take British Airways to London, you're going to pay something in a business class award. You're going to pay something like $1,000 in surcharges. So, and even on coach, it's several hundred. So this is not chopped liver. This is really a big hunk of money, and I don't think the airlines are disclosing it adequately.
And also, they're checking into whether or not the airlines are giving out the right number of if there really are free tickets available. Is that also part of this?
I hope it is. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There hasn't been any public announcement since the original one, so I'm not clear exactly how much they're going to cover. But I have urged the Inspector General's office to include the question of whether or not there's an adequate number of seats available at the mileage they brag about.
So cheers to the Department of Transportation, but you say jeers to Marriott for the gratuity envelopes.
Uh-oh, here comes the dispute. I know where this is headed. Go ahead, Ed. You get to go first.
Okay, well, Marriott has been putting what they call gratuity envelopes for housekeepers in their hotel rooms in the U.S. and Canada. And apparently we're in a situation here where tipping housekeepers in a hotel is in a kind of a netherland. Some people do it, some others do not. My take is that what Marriott wants to do here is to do enough to be able to claim that its housekeepers are basically tipped workers, the way waiters in a restaurant are, so it doesn't have to pay a minimum wage.
Ooh, that could be that.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it. He just took the wind right out of my sails there. I'm one of those guys who has always left a couple dollars for the housekeeper ever since somebody pointed out to me that, you know, they cleaned the toilet before you got there. And, you know, if your sheets are clean and your room smells nice and everything's up to par, why, that's the person who had the most to do with it. They make the least amount of anybody in the hotel, and flipping them a couple bucks will get you disproportionate gratitude from folks and good karma from folks a little bit who are working hard for a living. So that's why I've always tipped the housekeepers, not just open-ended, but I do leave a couple of bucks as if the service is good and things were up to snuff. And I don't have a problem with the envelopes. Because I think people sometimes don't know how to do that. Yes, Thomas.
Yeah, but if Ed is right, if they're doing this simply so that they can reclassify these people as, employees that, what would be the term, Ed, that they're...
I think the IRS calls them tipped workers.
And so therefore they can reduce their salary to practically nothing on the basis that they're relying on tips to pay the rest.
You see,
this is
why we have Ed on the program, because he knows things and has angles that some of us don't always think of. All right, I have to give you that point, my friend. If you turn out to be right there, why it it won't be good news for housekeepers all over the country. What they thought might be good wouldn't be. We had a guest on here, Tom. Was it last week or the week before? We had the gentleman from the Whiteface Lodge. You gave cheers to the Whiteface Lodge in the Adirondacks, Ed, and we had the gentleman, the GM, on our radio program here just recently.
2 weeks ago.
Because you pointed out that they have gotten rid of those damn resort fees.
That's right, and I think they deserve a pat on the back for doing that. The problem isn't about them. I mean, they're a very upscale place that's really quite well known and has a great reputation. Unfortunately, one hotel isn't going to make much of a dent in this, what I consider to be very bad practice, of splitting the hotel price and arbitrarily putting a lower figure on the room rate than it really is, and then adding back in later on as a resort fee. So cheers to Whiteface Lodge, but I think that we're going to need some action by the Federal Trade Commission before we really curb this practice.
Oh, it's getting even more out of hand. Although, let's say cheers too at the top of the program, Ed, before you were on, I told Tom I stayed last night at Palace Station in Las Vegas, and their resort fee is called a service fee, and they were real pleasant about telling me about it up front, and they told me that not only does it include your internet and a couple of other miscellaneous things you probably won't use, but it includes the shuttle to the Strip and includes a ride to the airport, if you would like.
Yes, and I'm sorry to say that when they say the fee includes that, they're lying to you.
Uh-oh.
Once a fee becomes mandatory, it's part of the price. And what they say it covers is an excuse, not a reason.
Boy, don't mess with Ed Perkins.
Boy, how about this, Ed? How about all of us that stay at these service fee, resort fee places, instead of asking for one towel for the spa, ask for five. When they put a newspaper on your door and you've got four people staying there, we each want a newspaper. We annoy the crap out of them so that they will start reconsidering the so-called services that they're providing. Well, we'll get our money's worth one way or another.
Sounds like fun, but I think if you want to discuss this issue, you've got to get away from playing the hotel's game, which is saying, well, we're charging you this, but look what you get for it. And that just isn't the way to look at it. Once they say they have a mandatory fee, it really is part of the price, period.
Yep. I guess my point was that at least at Palace Station, you got something of real value for the fee. Ed, we're up against the clock.
No, you didn't.
Well, at least I got a ride to the airport. Ed, we're going to have to continue this argument for another day. We're up against the clock here, buddy, so we're going to have to go to the news. Thank you again for sharing all of your thoughts and opinions with us, and we'll come back in a few weeks. Keep an eye on those on the Department of Transportation, will you, for us?
We'll certainly do that, and as always, it's fun talking with you guys.
Thanks, Ed. We are the Travel Guys. News next. We'll be back in 3 right here on KFBK. Welcome, everyone. It's the Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, still.
Is
Mark. I'm always on the right. I'm always right.
I'm Mark Hoffman, and you're not.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't want to be.
There was somebody around, Chuck Roy, the old guy at KROY,
yeah,
used to say, I'm Chuck Roy.
And you're not.
And you're not.
Yeah. Onk, onk.
And a lot of fun. What were we going to talk about here? We have a guest. We have guests all over the place here. We don't have a lot of time to
that senior moment there, Mark.
to waste. I mentioned to you, I went out and saw, speaking of senior moments, saw Jack Gallagher Friday night at Harlow's. That was a lot of fun.
We had interviewed Jack about this particular show.
We did.
Some earlier in the year, and it's the same old guys rock and roll show.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I understand they did Rascals medley.
He did a lot of Rascals stuff. Jack had a bicycle accident a month or so ago that was pretty serious, and got his head and a windshield got into it together. But he seemed to be okay, and he seemed like a guy who just loved rock and roll music, and he was just up there singing and having a great time and telling a few stories once in a while. It was a lot of fun.
How could you not?
All right, let's move on here. We just down the road, Thomas, is Jack London State Park. You know, it's only about maybe an hour, hour and 15 minutes from Sacramento, and
just off Highway 12 north of Sonoma.
I've been
says right here on travelguysradio.com if you want to follow along.
I see, and I've noticed over the last couple of years as their press releases came out that they've become really very oriented towards using the park facilities for a variety of incredibly wonderful events. So I thought, since it's so close to Sacramento and the events are so reasonably priced and many of them are so family oriented, that it would be a good thing to tell our folks about, because Jack London State Park is, after all, not just an collection of trees and buildings and stuff like that, but there's some real incredible California history there. So joining us on the Travel Guys now is Deborah Large. Deborah is the communications director at Jack London State Park down in Glen Ellyn. Hi, Deborah.
That's right. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah. So, you're absolutely right. We have all kinds of events here at the park. We are no longer supported by the state. And so we have an operating agreement. And some of our events, we raise some money that helps keep the park open.
So you folks have to really, you've got to support yourself at this point.
Completely support ourselves.
Well, you're doing an incredibly creative job of doing it, Deborah, because I see both here with a couple of events that are coming up, maybe you can tell us about. You've got a sustainability farm festival and then what's called a Wine Country Ragtime Festival coming up on consecutive weekends there at the park. Tell us about those.
That's right. Next Sunday, we are going to have a sustainable farm festival. And this is perfectly free. You have to pay to come into the park and park, but otherwise it's free. And what we're doing is getting the word out that Jack London, the author, was also one of the early sustainable ranchers. And what does that mean? Well, basically, when he bought the property here, it had been worn out by the wineries that had owned it before him, and the land was just a disaster. So he used some of the methods that he had learned about in China and was able to bring the land back to life again. And so in our Sustainable Farm Festival, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to have docents at each of the historic buildings that are around the park. We're going to have all kinds of sustainable organizations, farm organizations that are going to be here. And
will food be a part of this event too, Deborah?
Yeah, we're going to have a wonderful barbecue. We're going to have a farm forum with Marcy Smothers and Clark Wolf. They're going to be talking about the autumn farm and what's going on in the county right now. So there's going to be food, music, games for kids. It's going to be a great time for everyone.
Now, the next weekend, you have another special event coming up, the Wine Country Ragtime Festival, which has a something called a Ragtime Romp at Jack's Place. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, that was my doing. It's Ragtime Romp at Jack's Place. And what this is our Wine Country Ragtime Festival. This is a group of ragtime players that have their festival at this time of year. They're going to be, we're one of the venues. Ragtime was one of the, would be the considered the popular music during Jack London's time. And so we're going to make a big party out of this. We're going to have nonstop ragtime music outdoors overlooking the Beauty Ranch under the oaks. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to have a costume contest for the folks that look the most like Jack and Charmian London.
Now, Deborah, is there a charge for this event, or is this also just a parking-only admission?
just parking only, and you come in and just have a good time. We want people to come to our park and see what's going on here so they can return and just have a good time here.
Barbara, what is parking cost at the park?
Parking is $10 per vehicle, up to 9 people in a vehicle.
So you can go down to Jack London for the cost of a quarter of a tank of gas and $10. You could take your family down to, and these are not only, Tom, this is not a one-off type of things. There are special events going on, concerts, all kinds of things going on at this park. And if you've never been, have you been to Jack London State Park?
I have. I take the guided tour. Those are really a lot of fun. By the way, go to travelguysradio.com, right there where you see in light blue Jack London State Historic Park. If you click there, it goes to the website and has a list of all the events coming up.
Well, and you can get yourself on a list that, just like I have, that will, so that Deborah and her people will be able to send you notices of all the special events coming up, because there really are, I really have been incredibly impressed, Deborah, with the variety of events, the low cost factor involved, and the broad demographic that you folks are appealing to. So congratulations on creating, turning yourselves into a real community asset in an area that sometimes doesn't have a lot of low-priced events. So congratulations on that.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate to hear that.
Thank you for joining us, Deborah. We are the Travel Guys, and we have a winner.
Well,
or are we going to talk underwear?
We do, Thomas. Well, let's talk a little bit just for a minute here. A few weeks ago, we had the Sports Leisure Preview Day. I brought
First of all, everybody go, if you're in front of your computer, go now to travelguysradio.com because Mark's travel underwear update is there for all to see. Go ahead and give them the backstory, and then I have a question about this picture I'm looking at.
Okay. All right. Well, it's this underwear is supposedly you could wear it every day for 6 weeks, and the thing on the outside says 17 countries, 6 weeks, one pair of underwear. And our guests on the other side of the room are just kind of looking a little squeamish at the moment. I will tell you, I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. If you're a guy, you'll understand this. If you're a woman, you probably won't unless you've heard this conversation before. But it's a boxer brief sort of thing. You know, some guys prefer boxers and some guys prefer briefs. And there are a lot of reasons for that. We won't go into that because we don't have time. And it might not be something we could talk about on the radio. But this underwear is kind of a boxer brief sort of thing. And that's important because if you're a boxer guy or a brief guy, you need
too much detail.
Well, it's important. And I also found they dry really quickly. There was a little bit of chafing, a little bit, not a lot, but just a little bit the first day or two there. But I wore them for 4 days. I washed them out every night, hung them up to dry. I would say that it's men's ex officio underwear, and as you can see there are you can just click right on the link, and there is the link to the ladies ex officio pictures of ladies in, you know, scantily clad things.
Now when you had the tour catalog tour show next door here, on stage you had these underwear. You pulled them out and you had a nice gray pair of underwear.
Right.
If you look at this picture, they are no longer gray. They are now, it looks like, kind of a dirty white. And I wanted to know, were those gray ones just an exhibit? Or is this what happens to your 6 weeks of underwear after washing them that many times?
No comment. That's the same color as they were when they started.
Oh, okay.
So I give them my highest recommendation, but I'm not sure that you'd want to have to, if you bought 10 pair of these, why you'd be bankrupt. But anyways, that's the underwear story. They are right there for you to see and click on.
And now that our guests from the Sacramento Ballet have walked out of the room after that discussion and probably will not go on the air with us, we're going to go out into the hallway and see if we can convince them.
They would never walk out of the room. They would dance out of the room.
All right.
All right, quickly. The Sports Leisure winner for the week is Michelle Ogata. O-G-A-T-A. Michelle went to see Motown, the musical, with us just about a week ago in San Francisco. So, Michelle, if you're listening to the radio, you've won a $50 gift card from Sports Leisure Vacations. If you call our office Monday or Tuesday, we will double that to $100. And every week, we pull a winner from someone who has traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations over the last couple weeks and give them a travel card on the air just for fun. So that's a reason to listen. When we come back after the break, we've got a couple of other news updates for you. And as Tom alluded to, we have special guests from the Sacramento Ballet. We also have Steve in the studio, but I don't know if that's special or not. Is that special, Tom?
Well, yeah, he's wall dressing. Steve, do you have a comment? Mike for Steve, please.
Actually, I'm still chafing from Mark's description of the underwear, so...
And, well,
by proxy.
We are just here to make people a smarter travelers and smarter traveler and less chafing. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be right back with the Sacramento Ballet in just a moment.
Lord, I was born rambling. You know, we are the Ramblin' Men, the Travel Guys.
I want to ask you something.
KFBK, go ahead.
Does the board operator harass the other hosts? Also, like Luis harass us?
No, I think we're the only live commercial show on the air. Everybody else is pre-recorded.
I see. So we're the only real radio. No, I shouldn't say
that. We're the only show
that
isn't trying to talk people into financing their
investments.
We're talking
underwear here on the Travel Guys. That's our big topic during the break here. We were having a discussion of what do ladies consider the equal of briefs versus boxers versus briefs. Is there an argument on the ladies' side? And they told me there was. We didn't have a great time to go into it all, but we will save that for a future edition of the Travel Guys when we discuss that incredibly important topic.
Put that in your calendar.
It's underwear day on the Travel Guys. Steve LaRosa is here, and he's got a couple special guests for us in the studio.
It's great to be back, fellas.
Good to have you back,
nice
Steve.
Thanks for coming in.
Steve's our almost a travel guy, you know, and he's... comes around when Romano takes off and stuff like that, and brings various times he brings in people off the street to talk to us, and he's brought some folks in today.
Street people.
Very nice looking street people.
Nice looking
street people, yes, who contributed to the underwear discussion, I might add.
A lovely introduction. Yes, I brought some friends with me, you guys. Our new executive...
They used to be your friends, actually.
Well, we'll see after this thing's over. Our new executive director... Katie Solis is with us, as well as the board chair of the Sacramento Ballet, Nancy Garten. And Katie she's fairly new to Sacramento. She's came down from Idaho. And Katie, you can maybe say a little bit about the company you were with up there.
Absolutely. Yes, I am fresh in, and I came from an internationally touring dance company called Trey McIntyre Project.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited to be here with Sacramento Ballet.
Now, that's a really renowned, I was reading some of doing my homework before you got here, and I was reading, that's a really renowned dance company. So it sounds like that, you know, I mean, you might be somebody who's like in demand.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that I have a lot of skills that can potentially help Sacramento Ballet. So since that project has come to a close, it feels like a real natural place to be.
Have you ever been to Sacramento before this? Or
I had for 24 hours for an interview.
Are you pretty excited about your new job? And how do you feel about where we're headed with the ballet?
Oh my gosh, I'm incredibly excited. And I think that we're in the beginning of a huge upward curve for the ballet. It's been 60 years, and we're just starting to go into a next 60 years that I think is going to be very vibrant and different and beautiful.
I think with something we should point out, Mark and I were talking earlier about the ballet and versus the symphony, and we were a little kind of uncertain as to whether the ballet had any hiccups along the way. And as you said, 60 years uninterrupted, and that's a lot to be said. Tell us what the benefits for the ballet goers coming up here in the coming season.
Absolutely. We've got a huge season coming up of blockbuster story ballets, kicking off with The Great Gatsby, actually October 23rd through the 26th. Tickets on sale now.
Literally kicking.
TravelGuysRadio.com will get you a link to the Sacramento Ballet's website there. Go right ahead.
Fabulous.
Sorry for the interruption there.
No. And we're actually in the studio right now creating some new sections for The Great Gatsby, which includes tap dancing.
Wow.
Which is a little wild for a ballet company to pull out.
And you got the Nutcracker at Christmas. Come back to that in a minute. You've got Peter Pan and Swan Lake. You guys are going for things that, you know, maybe people like me have heard of. Well, you know, I mean, listen, if you're not a fan of the ballet, one of the ways to get people to come to the ballet is that, you know, maybe it's not quite so far reaching. So, plus Swan Lake is, I'm not a huge ballet fan, but Swan Lake is an amazing ballet. I mean, I'll just tell you.
Now, in regards to as, you know, we move forward and people's tastes change and so forth, has there been any changes to sort of, you know, or is ballet just so traditional, the last thing you want to do is deviate in any way? You mentioned tap dance in The Great Gatsby. Is there any other thoughts in regards to mixing up it a little bit to attract maybe a newer audience? Deborah?
Nancy.
I'm
could
sorry.
Be Deborah.
Yeah, well, Deborah was the last. Deborah was the last lady from Jack London Park.
Yeah. That's okay. Nancy.
Yes.
Speaking of senior moments.
Well, I've never believed that the ballet is elitist. Although some people who aren't familiar with the ballet might hold that opinion. Those who have experienced The Great Gatsby, I think, will know that this is a phenomenal story set to wonderful music. We have a live jazz band. It's very contemporary. And, of course, everyone knows the story of The Great Gatsby. So for those who are perhaps uninitiated, I think The Great Gatsby would be a wonderful way to be introduced to the ballet.
Now, of course, for the holidays, you have the Nutcracker, which is kind of a traditional type of thing. Give us some idea of what tickets are going to cost for the ballet. What's the best seat in the house and what's the cheapest seat in the house? I mean, let's get a range.
Absolutely. We have a huge range of ticket prices, actually, and it actually ranges from extremely accessible in that $20 range all the way up to the $100 range for those top seats.
Okay.
And subscriptions are still available as well, which gives you the steepest discount possible for the whole season.
Mm-hmm. And how many ballets do you have? Is there four or five?
There is five.
Five. And is this an adventurous season, or is this about the typical for...
Well, this is year two for the grand experiment. Nutcracker fans are used to having live music, so we were not able to offer live music for a number of years after the recession. So last year, we brought in live music with the Sacramento
Which is very expensive.
It is, but we did it for five performances with a premium ticket price. We're doing that again this year. It was mm-hmm. very successful last year.
So people were willing to pay...
Many were, because they really, really want that live music experience at CCT.
We just have a couple minutes left here, ladies. So if for someone who is a ballet fan and perhaps hasn't been for the last couple of years, and you're selling a ticket to them, what would you say? What would you tell them?
I would say, come to The Great Gatsby. Let us earn you back. We'll wow you with the live music, the live jazz, the experience. We have 31 professional dancers employed with us. It's really a spectacular experience. And then come for the rest of the season after we wow you.
And do you find that the talent in the Sacramento pool, or from for that matter, all over where you get your dancers, and you've seen them all, how do they stack up?
Well, many of the dancers, actually, that we had at Trey McIntyre Project, we pulled from Sacramento Ballet.
We also have about...
She brought her clan. I mean, she brought her folks with her. Yeah.
We have seven or eight dancers, I believe, also from foreign countries who have specifically applied to Sacramento to be here.
Yeah, the only thing I want to say, you guys, if I can throw in my two cents, is you got a couple of powerhouse women here. Nancy, when she took over as board chair, has just been... getting things in shape with the Sacramento Ballet.
I kind of sense that just in our short conversation here. That's kind of what I sense.
And Katie brings an incredible creative experience from Trey McIntyre. And some of the things she's got up her sleeve that she shared with me are really creative. And really, I think you'll see in the next year, the Sacramento Ballet is just going to explode in terms of... turning on people's imagination about the ballet.
All right, and you're going to get us a couple tickets to Great Gatsby to give away on the air, and we'll talk about this again in a week or two. So I think it's an amazing schedule, and I really congratulate you, ladies. We only have so much time here, so thank you for coming in and talking to us, and I would love to have you back again a little bit later in the season. We get closer to the Nutcracker, and we can talk about that and see how the Great Gatsby goes and stuff like that. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Awesome, you guys. Looking forward to it.
Thank you guys
so much for coming in.
Sacramento Ballet.
Yeah.
Go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there where you can get right to the to the ballet website, and you can see about all the stuff that we've been talking about here. Thomas, we promised people a quick news update. That situation in Chicago with the airport there and the fire at the air traffic control center. There are over 700 cancellations today. This is the third day this has been going on. I've got groups flying through Chicago. It's a problem. It's not only a problem in Chicago, but it's a problem if your plane touches Chicago. So you trust me, if you're flying the next couple, 3 days, don't take anything for granted. Get all those notifications and stuff lined up so you'll know if your flight is really going. Nashville Airport is the first in the United States to okay Uber and Lyft. coming into their airport. I'd like to get somebody from the Nashville airport and find out why they made that exception. We'll get them on the air. The Los Cabos airport, which had that horrible hurricane, expects to have the first commercial flights back in. They hope within a couple of weeks. The airport will not reopen completely until the end of November. So that's the news update, travel news update. We're out of here, huh?
And we are the Travel Guys. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Be listening during the week for Mark's Travel Tip of the Week. You stay well. We'll see you next week, same time.
This is Radio KFBK.